Chapter 24. The Lord of Iron. Iron Circle. Superior Intelligence. The Vengeful Spirit, Terranhai Anchor, 9th of Quartus. Perturabo arrived aboard the Vengeful Spirit in a foul temper. His Stormbird put into a small hangar high on the command spines of the vessel, where Sons of Horus in gleaming armour waited for him with all the pageantry of interlegion diplomacy. Were it not for the polished skulls hanging from armour upon cords and the bright red banners bearing Horus's baleful eye, the greeting could have taken place during the Great Crusade. Those days were done. Perturabo saw through the display. There was nothing of the old glory, nor anything of honour. He was insulted his brother did not greet him personally, and saw only threat in the welcoming party, a feeling that intensified when Horus Aximand stepped forwards to greet him. "My lord Perturabo," said Aximand, "welcome to the Vengeful Spirit. It has been far too long since you graced us with your presence." Perturabo had never warmed to little Horus. He was a preening man, full of borrowed confidence. His resemblance to the War Master made him think himself better than others, when all he had been was an image of Horus reflected on dirty water. Now his face was ruined. He was not even that.
"Get on with it and take me to Horus," grumbled Perturabo. "There is no time for this pantomime. I must speak with my brother immediately."
The side hatches of the Stormbird slammed down. The booming tread of iron feet on metal echoed from the belly of the ship. The Iron Circle, Perturabo's bodyguard of 6 towering battle robots, marched out, formed a crescent around their master, and slammed their hazard-striped shields together to make a wall behind him.
"I see you have company," said Aximand.
His attempt to raise an eyebrow succeeded only in pulling at the scarred wreck of his face and making him even uglier.
"The Iron Circle goes where I go," he said.
"You have more forces with you? Why don't you call them out?"
"There are always more," said Perturabo.
10 iron warriors in modified cataphracty plate stepped onto the deck and took up position beside the battle automata. They aimed their weapons pointedly at their hosts.
"Is that Captain Forex I see there?"
said Aximand mildly, ignoring their show of strength.
"Him?"
Perturabo said with complete disinterest.
"Yes, it is Forex."
"I shall see to it that they are refreshed," said Aximand.
"They will remain here. They are staying to guard my ship," said Perturabo. "Refreshments are not required."
Aximand looked over the Terminator armored space marines and the automata and gave a little sigh.
"Your caution is a credit to your genius. But you should trust your brother, my lord," said little Horus. "You are held in high esteem here. You have nothing to fear."
Perturabo glowered.
"I fear nothing, but I trust no one," he said.
His cape of blades clanked behind him as he strode past little Horus.
"Not even my brother."
The Iron Circle came noisily alive and stamped after their master. Aximand looked at Forex. The Iron Warrior acknowledged him with a tiny dip of his helmet, no more than that. Aximand smiled a crooked smile and followed Perturabo from the hangar, leaving the sons of 2 Primarchs staring at each other over their guns. Perturabo walked swiftly through the Vengeful Spirit, his Iron Circle clanking behind tirelessly. The ship shuddered in time to the firing of its guns. Having skulked behind Luna for several weeks, it had come out and joined the bombardment of the throne world. Horus was putting on a show of leadership from the front. A screen of destroyers and frigates protected the flagship from defense batteries that Perturabo would have destroyed many times over had his brother not kept him at the edge of the system. The story was the same as it ever was. Perturabo was exiled, ignored, called upon only as a weapon of last resort. He would not let that stand. Already a master of the material sciences, he coveted the power of the warp. He saw possibilities beyond anything his genius could accomplish were it to remain shackled to the materium. But he was wary. His investigations were thorough. He would not follow his brothers into damnation and throw himself blindly upon the mercies of the gods, but circumvent them altogether and become a god himself. As he proceeded through the vessel, his armor's auto-senses recorded everything for later examination. The Vengeful Spirit was a living textbook on how not to grasp the warp's might. In every way it had changed for the worse. The taint of mutation lay on all things. Perturabo deeply disapproved. The warp was chaos. If approached carelessly, it was uncontrollable. He prized order. He would impose order upon chaos where his brothers had not. In securing his own apotheosis, Fulgrim had tricked Perturabo. But ultimately, like Angron, he had become a puppet of his passions. Magnus had chosen the esoteric path and fallen from it. Mortarion had been humbled. Lorgar was abandoned by the creatures he had unleashed. These things would not happen to him, for he was Perturabo. He was logical when the others were impulsive, methodical when they were rash, passionless when they were indulgent. He was the Lord of Iron, and he was better than them all. If the Vengeful Spirit were his ship, he would have burned the rot out. Horus didn't even bother to hide it. Corruption was in plentiful evidence. The smell of spoiled meat blasted from atmospheric cyclers. Crew and legionaries bore the marks of flesh change. When he ascended a huge staircase leading up towards the command deck, he encountered an entire wall subsumed by a mat of throbbing flesh, a tapestry of skin that presented a madness of rolling eyes and dribbling orifices. As the automata passed it, each chimed out a warning and powered its weapons. It was a supreme effort to order them to stand down and not send them to cut away the canker. Perturabo saw things other men did not. His psychic abilities were nothing compared to some, but he was nevertheless a Primarch and had an affinity for the warp. He had always been able to see the weeping sore in reality he had dubbed the Ocularis Terribus. Being on the Vengeful Spirit was like looking into the depths of the Ocularis and being unable to look away. There was a shifting of reality there. Nothing was real. Falsehood had stolen in behind every atom. He wanted to be off the Vengeful Spirit. It reeked of slavery, and Perturabo was no one's slave. He made good distance from the hangar without the irritation of Aximand, but the dog caught up with him to nip at his heels. "My lord," said Aximand, jogging to keep up with Perturabo.
"What do you want, Aximand?" said Perturabo.
"Where are you going?"
"Lupercal's court. I know the way. You need not follow me like a lost child. Begone. I am here to speak with the War Master. Not a spoiled facsimile."
"Horus is not in Lupercal's court," said Aximand.
Perturabo stopped. The instant he did, so did the Iron Circle.
"Where is he?"
"In his temple. It is a new location on the ship. I must take you there."
"Must you?" said Perturabo.
Aximand turned them about and led the party back down the stair and off towards a large lifter platform. Perturabo stared at it suspiciously before he and his robotic guardians clambered aboard.
"I prefer stairs," he said. "Less opportunity for assassination through mechanical interference."
Aximand said nothing, but worked the controls, sending them down towards the base of the command spire. At the bottom, he led Perturabo down a long corridor, whose portside windows showed a fine view of the fleet, and whose starboard side gibbered nonsense from thousands of chattering mouths. Presently, they came to an ornate doorway, carved of black, faintly luminous stone, with a bestiary's worth of leering faces. Perturabo had seen such stone before, in the Cursus on Talon. Recognizing the door as an artifact of the warp, he greedily set the devices of his armor to analyze it. As always, the stone showed only as a blank space to his equipment.
"The Iron Circle must remain outside," said Aximand, interrupting his evaluation.
"My machines pose no threat to Horus," he said, still playing his instruments over the black stone.
"So you say," said little Horus. "How can I be sure?"
Perturabo's furious gray eyes stared at him, but he held up his fist and clenched it, and the Iron Circle took a simultaneous step backwards. Their hammers thudded onto the floor, their shields they brought across their bodies, and they deactivated as one, sinking into themselves with a hiss of released pressure.
satisfied, said the Lord of Iron. Little Horus bowed his head. Again there was an air of mockery to his show of respect.
You may enter, my lord, he said.
The doors opened. Perturabo stared at little Horus long enough for his disgust to be known before passing through the portal. The doors closed behind him, sealing him in a chamber that should not have been there. Perturabo took in the silent unspeaking, standing guard in alcoves, the raised walkway, the black oil, strangely alive-looking, in the channels cut into the floor, the windows that looked upon an alien cosmos. Horus sat upon a throne at the far end of the walkway, which was fashioned of the same black, lustrous stone as the doors. He sprawled carelessly, armored legs thrust out in front of him, his hands on the screaming demon heads worked into the armrests. A penetrating sense of unease had Perturabo in its grip. The warp was close here, its otherworldly tides practically lapping at his feet. The lights were dim, but they shone with painful wavelengths not found in the material realm, and Perturabo squinted against them to see his brother. Horus was armored, his hands encased in the huge machinery of his power claws, his great maul leaning against the throne. He stirred and sat upright. The machineries of his battle plate were loud in the sepulchral quiet.
Brother, said the War Master, it is good to see you.
Perturabo hesitated. He should go to his brother. Caution held him back. So much of the scene was wrong. The many word-bearers vastly outnumbered the two Justerin standing sentry at the entrance, whose presence was the only acknowledgement that this was a Sons of Horus ship.
Brother, said Horus again, it is unlike you to dither. Come to me and greet me. You have performed well. I wish to thank you. We have a great deal to discuss.
The Lord of Iron advanced steadily to mask his worries. Perturabo felt no fear, but he was paranoid to the core, and the voice that whispered treachery and death into the hidden folds of his mind was screaming at him to get out.
My brother, he said.
He believed he hid his internal conflict, but Horus watched him sharply, so that he feared he had betrayed himself. With difficulty, for his famed battle plate, the Logos, was a massive construction, Perturabo knelt at his brother's feet.
My War Master, he said. Rise, Lord of Iron, Horus said.
Perturabo had no choice. He had to obey. Horus's gift was his ability to command men. Long ago he had done so artfully, through argument and persuasion as much as force of will. His charisma had been such he convinced others to follow him gladly. Now his presence demanded obedience. There was such power in him. Yet he was also lesser than he had been, to the extent that Perturabo barely recognized his brother. Imperiousness replaced nobility. The easy smile had become a knowing leer. His thoughtful countenance had become slightly wild, suggesting wisdom too terrible to hold. Yet there was a glimpse of the old Horus when he stood from his throne and looked upon Perturabo fondly, causing the Lord of Iron to doubt himself.
We shall talk a while, you and I, said Horus.
A febrile heat rose off the War Master. The sourceless light shining up from his gorget stained his skin a lurid magenta. So much power was invested in Horus. Perturabo recognized authority when he saw it, and though he shied away from others who would dominate him, to Horus he grudgingly submitted.
You have waited too long to summon me, Perturabo said sourly. Why did you not allow me down with the Mechanicum landing parties? I have examined their work. It is pedestrian at best. Their contravelation is full of weaknesses. Had Dorn half the wits he ascribes himself, he would have overrun the siege camps a dozen times already. Lucky it is for us that he is arrogant and afraid, choosing to skulk behind his fortifications. Let me at the Mechanicum to show how feeble Dorn's efforts are. Let me down to Terra, my lord, and I shall win this war for you. You promise me honour and respect, then leave me to languish in the outer system, digging ditches?
We delay when we should strike. We...
Perturabo, said Horus, silencing him.
Perturabo's stolid face showed surprise as his words jammed in his throat and would not come out.
Do not complain. Not until you have heard me out.
Horus stepped down from the throne dais to come to his brother's side.
My lord,
Perturabo gasped, able to speak again.
Dear brother, Horus said.
He rested his massive claw on Perturabo's shoulder. Perturabo's teeth and bones ached at the otherworldly power emanating from the War Master.
Always looking for the poison in the meat and never at the feast. I did not summon you until now for good reason, and I assure you it is the exact opposite of the suspicions churning around in that mind of yours. You see deviousness when, truthfully, I set you to work as I do, because you are the only one of our brothers I trust. Be aware of this. You are blind to the affection I have for you. It offends me.
My lord, said Perturabo haltingly.
Fulgrim is flighty, said Horus. Angron is consumed with rage. Mortarion has fallen on the sword of his pride. Magnus cannot be trusted, for he serves only himself. But you are here, Perturabo. You are still strong. You have not cravenly begged for the mercies of the Four. You see in me what the true power of the warp can grant.
He held up his other hand.
I am the master of the Pantheon, not their servant. The others are diminished creatures, slaves to darkness, the lost and the damned.
Horus smiled regretfully.
They were not strong enough. They gave themselves to one small aspect of the warp. But you, Perturabo, you were too wise for that. Too clever.
You preserve your individuality when the others have lost theirs without realizing it has gone.
I broke with the Emperor to be free, not to enslave myself to worse masters, Perturabo admitted.
Horus chuckled, a leonine growl somewhere at the back of it.
The Four hear you. Your arrogance delights them. They respect you. The others?
He shook his head.
They are tools. They are not respected. Not like you, Lord of Iron.
Horus walked a few steps from the throne to look out at the vivid displays through the viewports.
You are too important to waste. Your sons, too. They are valuable. Why would I send you down to bleed with the dregs? I have greater things in mind for you.
Mortarion's sons are on world,
Perturabo said peevishly. We are as indomitable, more indomitable, than the Death Guard. They are ill-suited to this battle. I should be there fighting now. Horus dismissed his concerns with a gesture.
They have a different role to play to the one I have for you. Mortarion's sons will die in their multitudes performing their task. I am saving you and your sons, my brother, for the real work.
Perturabo's frown broke into 100 different wrinkles around the input cables embedded in his scalp.
When have you ever had a care for the lives of my sons, or for my talents?
Horus looked at him pityingly.
When have I not? You are the best of them, brother. This is a siege. It is the siege, Perturabo. There will never be another battle like this. You are the finest engineer in the galaxy. I protect my best assets. I preserve them for the right moment. You do not toss your advantage away.
Then you finally acknowledge my worth?
Said Perturabo stiffly.
Finally? I have always acknowledged your worth, said Horus. That is why I speak with you alone. And the rest of our siblings must be dealt with together, like children. But not you, bold, brave Perturabo. We can talk as men, you and I. We are more alike than the rest. Equals, almost, in the scale of our intellects and the scope of our ambitions.
Perturabo bristled. He regarded his intelligence as superior to all others, even Horus's.
Of course, your legion will perform better than the Ordo Reductor and Sota Nul's lackeys, Horus continued, smiling indulgently at Perturabo's pride. Of course, you would already be forcing the walls. Was it not you who uncovered the vulnerabilities of the Aegis? Was it not you who proposed the nature of the aerial assault? I rely on you, brother. This is a dangerous time. My attention is elsewhere. We must be circumspect, not rush in where angels fear to tread. His grin became impossibly wide at his use of the ancient aphorism. An egg is a strong vessel for the life it hides. He held up his clawed hand. Pressure, pressure, pressure. The egg remains whole until the pressure is too great and the egg cracks. His claws scissored together with a noise like striking swords. A small breach, a lone assault. These little violations can be overcome by the defender. The palace must be forced wide on every front at once. So hard and so widespread our attack must be that it cannot possibly be countered. Horus's smile had no humanity to it. It was the sneer of a gargoyle on a pagan fane. You will go to the surface. You will direct your legion to encircle the walls of the palace with unbreakable siege lines. Yes, improve the contravolition. Yes, have your store, Bizask, show the others how to conduct a barrage. But this is not all I wish you to accomplish. Very soon the Emperor's grip on the warp around Terra will be prized loose. Mortarion, Angron, and Fulgrim will then descend, and the Neverborn allies, our patron's promise, will be able to manifest soon afterwards. You will... Horus broke off suddenly and looked up, hearkening to a call Perturabo couldn't hear. The Warmaster's gaze slid along the lines of motionless word-bearers. He stared into nothingness for a while, then regarded his brother again.
So there is nothing for me to do other than dig more ditches while false gods steal my victory, said Perturabo.
No, my dear brother. All the demons spawned since time began will not win us victory, nor will the Legiones Astartes. We require a greater power.
Titans, said Perturabo decisively. Landing our titans without their destruction is the key. Too far from the palace, they are at risk of counterattack. Too near, and their landing craft will be targeted and brought down.
Horus nodded. A pointed tongue slid along teeth that appeared momentarily sharp.
You will have your victory and all the triumphs due you. When you accomplish the task I set you, every creature in the galaxy will know your name. All shall fear you. None shall doubt your brilliance.
Perturabo listened, rapt.
Only you can do this.
Horus gripped Perturabo's pauldrons in both hands and stared into his eyes. Heat from the War Master's body warmed his armor.
You will find me a way to get Titans past the wall, Perturabo, said Horus, and directly into the Imperial Palace.